All online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issue today is, oh, ye hypocrites. I'm using a quote from the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, where the Lord Jesus Christ confronted the scribes, the Pharisees, and hypocrites. He said, woe to you scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? Saying one thing and doing another. Living one life and saying something about another. We find today most of those that were in the Obama and the Biden administration are hypocrites today, very clearly, obviously recognized. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. We're going to talk about those that are now the hunted, and they were the hunters trying to tear down and destroy the American Constitutional Republic through the weaponizing lawfare to try to undermine and destroy President Trump to prevent him from being president. We're going to talk about that later in the broadcast today. Right now, we're talking about the peace plan with Israel and Hamas, and we've got Jim on hold. Jim, let me read this headline and 2 brief paragraphs to get your take on it. Israel and Hamas agree to the first phase of a peace plan. After announcing that both sides had agreed to the deal, President Trump said that hostages still being held by Hamas will be released in the coming days. In exchange, Israel will withdraw its troops to an agreed line. Further in the article, it says, the deal signals progress in the first step. Trump's 20-point plan for Gaza. The hostage exchange is expected to occur within several days, coincides with Trump's potential visit to the region. Negotiations on the other parts of the peace deal are ongoing. Further, the article states this. Let me pick up here. In accordance with Trump's 20-point peace plan, the group also stated that it has accepted parts of the peace proposal to end its war with Israel, including, listen, giving up power over Gaza, but noted that other provisions would require further consultation among the Palestinians to make the final decision. According to Trump's peace plan, Gaza will be governed by a temporary apolitical Palestinian technocrat committee tasked with the managing daily public services and municipalities in Gaza. The Board of Peace, as it is called, headed and chaired by President Trump. The board will include prominent names such as former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, with additional members to be announced later. All military terror and offensive infrastructures, including tunnels and weapons production facilities, will need to be destroyed and never to be rebuilt, according to the 20-point peace plan. Now, Jim, my question to you is, I'm rejoicing and thankful to see the agreement, the first phase, to release all of the known hostages, 48, I think, total. Half of those are better, already deceased. Now, I'm thankful for that. But my question to you, Jim, will we ever get to the second phase? Because in that second phase, it requires Hamas to give up weapons, to surrender their weapons, and to no longer be dominant in any control factor in Gaza. Do you believe that'll ever happen?
I believe that there will be a facade of that happening. I mentioned the 20 wars because what I wanted to point out is, as history goes, you can use it as a barometer for what will happen tomorrow. 17 of those wars have been against a Palestinian faction, you know, the Fahid, the Infatada. I'll even give you an example. 1982, the Marines in Beirut. You know, that was the Palestinian Liberation Organization. So what they'll do, according to past history, in my opinion, is they'll lay back, they'll fade into the background, they'll give the appearance of Assad of cooperation of what they're doing, and then behind the scenes they'll build up again like they always have done over since 1956 with the original start of the Palestinian insurrection of Fayyid, I think is how it's pronounced.
Yes.
If you look through history, your three majors were the Arab-Israeli, 48, your Six-Day, which is 1967, and then your Yom Kippur, which is 1973. Every single conflict since then. I mean, we all remember 1982 when, prior to that, the Infatada, they were throwing rocks and blah, blah, blah. Same thing, firing rockets from the Golan Heights into Israel. Israel invaded southern Lebanon, pushed him back. There was a peace deal. Everything went. And then we're right back where we started. That is personally what I feel will happen. They will give an appearance of peace, and then they'll turn around and bide their time, and then just do the same thing over again.
Absolutely. Jim, let me tie a little bow on that and do a footnote. The reason I know this will not be a fixed, firm, everlasting peace agreement. Because according to the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, it will be the Antichrist, after the church has been raptured out, when the Antichrist steps on the scene, and the Antichrist will negotiate a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. At the 3.5-year point, the Antichrist will break the treaty and will have an all-out war for the balance of the tribulation days to destroy every Jew on the face of the earth. And it will only be when the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns and rules and reigns from his throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years that we will have peace. The world does not know peace. The world shall not have peace. Israel shall not live in peace. That is until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, comes. So I think what we're doing, what we're seeing, is an effort. It's a try. I commend President Trump for what he's done. I commend Benjamin Netanyahu for his harsh, hard stand. And yet we have those today in America that's parading. In fact, I am shocked, saddened, to see what's happening in New York and Boston and other places in America and around the globe with those that are meandering in the streets, that are chanting and calling for Israel to be destroyed and wanting to see Hamas. They're calling them the Palestinians, want to see the Palestinians being set, quote, set free and to rule and to reign. It is what we're seeing today that I am concerned about, because there's the thought and feeling by some that what President Trump is doing, though it is wonderful, that somehow, some way, it will fix the Middle East problem, and it shall not, because the Prince of Peace will only come then. In fact, in Jeremiah 6:14, it says, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. And that is what we see happening today, in my most humble opinion. I believe that Israel will not find real peace until the Prince of Peace comes into this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. What say you?
I would agree with that 100% there. It was written in Daniel, and then it's alluded to quite throughout the Revelation of John. I'd like to bring up one more point there. You brought in a name that I've heard bandied about with Tony Blair and this council there. I don't know if you've read up on Larry Ellison and Tony Blair and a couple of other individuals, one of them being Bill Gates and Melinda and their foundation, about the World Digital ID. And they're really pushing that hard right now. And Blair was even throwing it about whenever he becomes the governor, per se, of the Gazan area, that they want to digitally ID everybody in that area. And they want to do it in Britain, and they're pushing this throughout a lot of African countries and quite a few European countries as well. And
Jim,
that doesn't know, Larry Ellison is the founder of Cisco, which makes Oracle databases.
Jim, I'm familiar with what you're saying, and our listeners need to understand that we're on the fast track as a nation to merge with the fast track on the global basis to match and or exceed what's being done in China today. It's the UK as we speak, and you just spoke of it. It's the UK that's already inculcating a forced legislation pushing for digital identification. And they're saying that's the only way they can control the meandering, unlimited immigration problem that they're faced with in Europe. And so the UK is setting the stage. And by the way, under what was called the Genius Plan, and the Big Beautiful Bill, as it is called, the Genius Plan in the Trump-pushed bill includes digital currency in America. And digital currency is a de facto digital geo-tracking of every human being in our nation. And that's in the process now, the stage being set to go into full force. My guesstimation, I've not read anything that states this or rejects it. My estimation, within the next 24 months, at the very most, America will have digital currency. There'll be no greenbacks in the shoebox under your bed. There'll be no greenbacks in a bank vault that you can go in and draw out. Everything will be on your handheld device, and the wrong vote, the wrong purchase, the wrong direction, the wrong city, the wrong state, whatever it may be, all the government will have to do is press the button. You don't have any money. It is not yours. It is simply fluid, fiat, in the air, funds that can be controlled by the federal government at any time. And at the same time, wherever you are and you press that button to buy a stick of bubblegum, you can be traced, tracked, and followed and know exactly where you are. It'll be what's called geofencing, geo-tracking, and that's on the fast track for every American. The UK's doing it. China already has that program. China's had that program since 2014, and they've phased it in over a 10-year period of time. It's in full force today in China. Every individual in China is tracked and followed by cameras and by geofencing through their cell telephones and other devices, that if there's any infraction of anything that's required of them, they cannot buy, sell, or trade. It is setting the stage, and the world is getting ready. The world, Jim, is getting ready for the Antichrist to step on the scene and to control all of the general population of all of the world. Revelation chapter 13 validates that you won't be able to buy, sell, a trade without the mark. And as some have argued down through the years, what is the mark? It's an identification of some type, and may I be bold enough to say, I believe it is a chip that will be in the head or the hand, or in the iris that could be read. That's the face, that's the frontal lobe, and I believe that is on we're on the fast track for that on a national level. So Jim, it demands our prayer and our attention. One other question before I let you go. James Comey's just been indicted for lying to the Congress. What are your thoughts? Is he guilty? Is he a good guy or a bad guy? What did James Comey do that's brought it to the point now that he's been indicted? The liberal Marxist media and the socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party are screaming hair on fire that's retaliation. Why is James Comey in the focus today? Why are others coming up to be in the focus? Christopher Wray and Adam Schiff. Why are these folks coming up now? Is it because Trump's trying to retaliate? Give our listeners a little thought on that.
Comey, he committed perjury. He was under oath, and he lied to a congressional body. And there's substantial proof that shows that. Basically, this is nothing more than justice. Do I believe they're going to do anything to him? No. Go get a slap on the hand. But Brennan, Ray, Schiff, Letitia Jones, all these other individuals, Alvin Braggs, all these other individuals that brought frivolous suits against Trump.
Don't forget Fannie Willis.
Fannie Willis, too, should be prosecuted for jurisprudence malfeasance there. They brought these just litany of charges that were to silence and oppress Trump, but yet whenever the Republican Party turns around and tries to serve justice upon those individuals, you know, we're called, we're called everything in the book. It's justice. It has nothing to do with retribution.
Absolutely. And, Jim, I'm reading a headline. Comey's media mole told FBI that he shaped Russia narrative. What the listeners perhaps have forgotten, multitudes have, that it was James Comey that assisted with the Merrick Garland DOJ and others in the White House, orchestrated, carried out, and directed by the auto pen Biden to carry out the Russiagate lie, that somehow, some way, according to the Russiagate lie, Trump was a puppet of Putin, and that was all fabricated, fictional, and manufactured, and it was James Comey that was right in the center, the very focal point of all of that. I'm looking at a headline that says, in part with the article, the FBI concluded numerous legacy media stories that crafted the false Russian collusion narrative, contained illegally leaked classified intelligence, and failed to definitively identify the leakers. But agents did force a stunning admission that the ex-FBI director James Comey used a special conduit to the Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times in his bid to polish his image and push for a special prosecutor to take down and destroy President Donald J. Trump. Goes on to talk about how this took place, what happened with his lies and his deception. He was at the very focal point, the very centerpiece of all that took place and the push for the destruction of President Trump. And, Jim, one of the things that most of the public do not understand, perhaps have not heard, because the social Marxist media, the woke progressive media, has not said this. All that Comey did, all that Merrick Garland did in the DOJ, and Comey is the FBI director, was orchestrated, planned, and the connection for those names that you just gave, Letitia James, Fannie Willis, Jack Smith, et cetera, all of their directions as to what to do came through Merrick Garland right out of the Oval Office with Joe Biden orchestrating, controlling, and pushing and planning every bit of it. And so I'm thankful that a lot of this is coming to the forefront. And, Jim, one of the things that is so sad, civil government, according to Romans chapter 13, is designed by Holy God as God's servants to serve God and to prosecute evil and to punish and to protect good. But we've seen the inversion of that in the past 10 years, in particular in America, where the thugs with badges, as I call them, the DOJ, the FBI, the DHS, et cetera, they have used their power and their authority to lie, cheat, steal, and try to destroy President Donald J. Trump. And so I'm thankful to see God drawing the curtain, bringing the truth to light. And all that you and I and others were accused of in the past 6 or 8, 9 years, saying that it was conspiracy theory, now we're being vindicated that all that we said is truth and facts and not fiction. So, Jim, it deserves our best. Go ahead.
Let's not forget there's crimes that he committed that he cannot be charged with because of the statute of limitations there. Mr. Orr wrote the briefs for the FISA court. Lisa Page and Peter Strzok as well have text messages between them of the directive of them attempting to actively overthrow a duly elected and seated president. Mm-hmm. And those were all under the direction of Comey as well. So So this extends far deeper than just the crimes he's being currently charged with. He has a history of this subversive type of behaviors.
A long, long history of it, and you're exactly right. I'm saddened to see that in the Beltway in Washington, we had foot dragging enough that most of the high crimes that Comey should be charged with have already passed the period of time where he cannot be prosecuted on them. In fact, with this charge of lying to Congress, was less than a week before the time would have elapsed that he could not have been charged with that. So I find the fault, very frankly, with the so-called conservatives in the Beltway that had foot dragging to allow this to come to the point that it has. But, Jim, it demands our prayer, our looking up and asking God to intervene and give victory and strength. We need to pray and ask God to give peace in Jerusalem. Psalms 122:6 says we're to do that. We need to pray for President Trump, for his protection and for his wisdom. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank
and
you.
God bless you as we keep looking up. We have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question and comment, please.
My comment concerning the peace plan, you say that phase one should work. But phase two, about the Palestinians putting down their weapons, that will never happen.
That's right.
Now, I blame the Christian preachers in America and throughout the world that are too afraid to call a spade a spade. We cannot coexist with a religion or a group that plans to destroy us. Then I blame the rhinos. We know who they are, no problem. But there's another group that is very harmful to us right now. It is the Trump's fair weather friends. You know, when Trump lost the election in 2020, he didn't lose it, it was stolen. I don't know of any members of Congress that had Trump's back. They were either silent or very meek and mild in protesting. And there are some members in his cabinet right now who, after the 2020 election, said, oh, Trump, get over it. You lost. The election was fair. And they're in his cabinet at the moment. So they are fair weather friends. We have too many fair weather friends, Republicans in Congress. We have to get rid of them as well as the rhinos.
Absolutely. That's one of the things, by the way, not just in his cabinet, but in the embedded bureaucrats. And right now with the shutdown of government, and I've said, perhaps you've heard it, I rejoice that government is shut down. I believe right now, while government is shut down, we have more protection, and more protection every day of our lives than we have when Congress is in session, when all the government is working. We have the embedded bureaucrats. For example, 34,000 just laid off, put on furlough out of the IRS. Thousands upon thousands in the State Department and other departments been furloughed. And it's the perfect time, and constitutionally President Trump has the full 100% authority to fire every one of those that are furloughed that he feels necessary. I believe that he needs to come to the table, put the big boy pants on, and widen his spine, which I'm thankful that he has now, but I believe he needs to broaden it and fire thousands of them, rather than let him go back to their jobs. I believe America is in danger when all of these bureaucrats are in force. Because listen, I've heard it said, in walking in the hallways in House and the Senate in Tallahassee and working on bills that we've had the privilege of working on and passing in the past 10, 15, 20 years, and the bureaucrats say, we don't care who comes and goes. We don't care what party is elected. And this is a statement made by bureaucrats in Tallahassee, that if they're elected and come in office, they can't find the bathroom unless we show them where it is. The bureaucrats embedded in Tallahassee and across the nation and in Washington, they run the show, not the elected leadership in the House and the Senate. And so it is my prayer that somehow, some way, Trump will get to the root of it. But you're exactly right. I believe, and you've heard me say before, I believe that the problems we're faced with in America today, morally, ethically, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, is at the very doorsteps of spineless, progressive, woke, liberal pastors in the pulpits, those that will embrace the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, those like Rick Warren that embraced Islam and said Islam is simply a sister religion to Christianity. Far be it from the truth. And we have those that are more concerned about numbers, nickels, and noses than about preaching and teaching the truth of the Word of God. I believe that's vital, that's necessary. It is my prayer that we'll see us go back to the rudimentary, fundamental basics of thus saith the Word of God, and for preachers to stop being afraid of the crowd. Stop being afraid. Many preachers are afraid they might have a Democrat in the audience that will get their feathers ruffled up if they speak the truth about what is happening politically, morally, ethically, theologically, and biblically. So, Derby, it is my prayer that you are exactly right. We'll see some of these being weeded out, feathered out. Yes, go ahead.
One quick point. I have no sympathy for the federal workers who are not getting paid because during COVID, they didn't care one bit about the millions of Americans who lost their jobs and their businesses and the people in the military who got thrown out because rejecting the vaccine. So let them suffer a little bit, and most of them are underworked, overpaid. The American people are the ones who have suffered more. We need to make them whole.
Absolutely. Well stated and well thought out, Derby. Thank you so much for your call. And one of the things that I continue to say, we need to pray for God's wisdom for Trump, God's protection for Trump, and the leadership that's rightly focusing on God. Derby, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that we have some good news, if you please, in the midst of all of the things that are taking place. I find that it is fascinating that we have those that are willing to pray and seek God's face. Kristi Noem, for example, part of the cabinet for Trump, just the head of DHS, visited some of the men on the front line, the ICE officers, and the headline says, Kristi Noem opens meeting with ICE officers with prayer. I watched that video. Kristi Noem sat at the end of the table, all of the ICE officers around the table, and all of them bowed their heads. She said, before we begin, let's pray. And she prayed and asked God to give each one of those ICE officers wisdom to protect them by the hand of God. And she prayed the prayer in Jesus' name. I'm thankful for that. Congress opens its session with prayer. Many school boards and town country councils and the state legislature did for many years. So it shouldn't surprise us that the executives in the White House administration has to be recognized. American Judeo-Christian Foundation and Heritage should open their meetings with prayer. It was at the meeting with the ICE officials in Portland, Oregon. Kristi Noem said, Lord, I just ask you that you would continue to put a hedge of protection around these officers. Keep them safe, Lord, but also that you would continue to bless each and every one of them and their families. Noem asked God to give her agency, wisdom, and discernment to make the best decisions, not just for the people that are enforcing the law, but also for the citizens in this country, in Jesus' name. I commend her for that. I commend Trump for that. Trump has already ordered the Department of Education to make sure that prayer is still available in the public schools. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth